You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Hey guys, welcome to the Best Practice Show. My name is Kirk Barron and I am your host, and I'm so pumped you're here because you get to see Uchi Odiatu, one of my favorite of all time. And if you've ever been here, if you've ever seen him, you know he's awesomely fun and informative and just overall great, great guy. So couple things. If you're joining us for the first time, I just want to welcome you to a very inviting community where we're just all here to learn and help each other. And I want to encourage you to do a couple things. Number one, I want to encourage you to just subscribe to the podcast. So if you're listening on Spotify right now, go down and hit the subscribe button because I want you to show up with us every single week. You're going to see we're going to bring a brand new expert every single week to help you create a better practice and a better life, just like Uch today, and you'll absolutely love it. Also, if you haven't joined our private Facebook group, I'm going to encourage you to show up over there. Over 13,000 of you are over there just helping each other out. I didn't even know how those things work, but it's pretty cool. And it's a very warm, inviting community, so make sure you join us over there. And then lastly, we're a practice coaching company, Act Dental Practice, actdental.com. And if you're looking for resources just to improve your practice, join us over at actdental.com. You're going to see we've got Act Dental U, which you will absolutely love. Today we had Katrina Sanders on there, and it was awesome on local anesthesia. And we put out courses every single week. There's hundreds of videos back there just to help you create a better practice and a better life. And then lastly, if you just need help with your practice, feel free to reach out. We're practice coaches. We listen to dentists all the time and help them create a better practice and a better life. So make sure you check it out. Now, I want to introduce my guest because he's not only a great friend, he's a great person. I enjoy being on the road with him when we actually are on the road. He is truly one of the most popular educators in dentistry. Now, I'm going to probably tell this story until the end. Like, I'll never forget. And I just have to tell. Like, so I'm at the Chicago Midwinter meeting, and I'm with my team. And we're having a great day. I'm all nervous. I got everything going. And, you know, one of my team members, her name's Angela, and she's the best ever. And she's like, you know, I'm really excited to be here, but do you mind if we go over and watch Uch? I'm like, you're going to go watch Uch. And she's like, yes. I go, you go. And so sure enough, I go outside. You're right next door. They got a velvet rope running the whole length of things. Like, there's people in line around the corner. And I'm like, oh, this guy's just awesome. So I actually said to somebody else, I'm like, I should just go over there and watch it. But Uch, I'm so excited to have you here. And almost everybody in dentistry knows you, but if nobody knows who Dr. Uchi Odiatu is, can you give them a little glimpse of who you are?
Well, thanks. I appreciate that intro, Kurt. That's amazing. I appreciate it. But who I am, I'm a human being. You know, dentist is one of my slashes. Author is one of my slashes. Certified personal trainer, one of my slashes. I'm Canadian. It's one of my slashes. I'm Christian. One of my slashes. I licensed a Zumba instructor a couple of years ago. One of my slashes. Certified yoga instructor. Certified boot camp instructor. I'm a health coach. You know, so people often get labeled as dentists, and I think I have so many slashes because I'm a dad. You know, I'm a son. I'm a brother. There's many different slashes to me, but I know in this space now, I'm serving my dental colleagues, but there's much more to me than just doctor. Doctor is only one part of me. I remember Deepak Chopra one time, I heard him speak 20 years ago, and he said, whenever you identify 100% with one of your titles, what happens is whenever you're no longer that, you feel worthless or you lose your sense of meaning. So if you're a doctor when you book restaurants, or you're a doctor when you come into the room, if you're a doctor when you come home, the doctor's home. What happens is when you're no longer a doctor, you retire, you lose your sense of purpose. So I like the idea of slashes. I like the idea of being a dad. I like the idea of being a son. I like the idea of identifying with other areas of my life. So anytime one of those areas goes, I still got 7, 8 other identities. And ultimately, I'm a timeless source of energy inspired by God to share. So there you have it. That's who I am.
Dude, I love that. I gotta get working on my slashes. I got a few of them, but I think I should diversify my portfolio of slashes. Because I totally agree with you. And I was just talking to a study club this morning. I'm like, I think one of the most important things you do is just you aren't what you do. You're so much more than that, you know. And that's just good stuff. Now, you're the guest here, so I've got a bajillion questions. And today we're going to be talking about move it or lose it beyond ergonomics. Let's talk about the why before the how. Why is movement and what, you know, not moving so important in dentistry now?
Well, most people, when they think of exercise, they think of the flat stomach. They think of squares. They're thinking of looking hot for your high school reunion, your college reunion. How do you look in front of your team? It's such a small part of exercise. It's such a small part. So the why should be the massive amount of physiological and neurological benefits. Dr. Church from the Cooper Institute in Texas said the fact that the benefit of being regularly physically active, 90% of it is from the neck up, which means neurologically, you know, longer telomeres, better synaptic connections, less toxin buildup, better sleep. You know, all these things are profoundly important. So why should go well beyond looking hot. But most people talk about, yeah, I want to start exercising. It's a kindergarten level of desire. A bigger why is the neurological and physiological benefits and the energy. I'm doing a talk now. I was just got invited. The number one bank of Canada, the Royal Bank of Canada, RBC Bank of Canada, just got invited to speak to 300 of their managers. We're not talking flat stomachs. We're actually talking the fact that if the corporate world really knew how powerful being physically active was for their employees, they would actually make it a job requirement. And that's what I'm starting off talking. If the corporate world knew the physiological, neurological, and the productivity benefits of being physically active, they would make it a job requirement. So right now it's still like, oh, it's a wellness program. It's not just RBC, but most corporate, no, it's a wellness program. It's the first program that gets dumped when times are tough. But if you really realize that people who aren't physically active are one-tenth as productive of people who are physically active. So all things held equal, if a company was a $3 million a year company, just not changing anything, the huddles, the systems, if all you did was get people more physically active, you would actually, the next year, produce $3.3 million. You'd go up by $300,000 just by being fit. So when I talk why, it has to go well beyond the flat stomach, well beyond looking hot, which is most people start off with, oh, now that I'm 30, now that I'm 40. Forget that. We're talking productivity, neurological, physiological health. This is what I talk about when I talk why. Why is powerful. It'll take you anywhere.
Yeah. And it's so good. I'm so glad you said, now I don't think it's that foreign to some companies. Like there's a very large company, a couple blocks from here, and they're in the B's, in the billions. And one of the things that they do, I have some friends that work there, is they have an exercise level. I mean, and they know the power of exercise, and also they offer free lunch. Now it's not one of those companies like, yeah, we got all this extra money, let's just give it. They know when employees eat well and they have a great selection from Salad Bar. Now it'd be great to have all that, but even on a smaller scale, the guy that owns the real estate right here, he told me, he's like, I knew that we could lower our premiums and we'd have a bet and be way more productive if I got invested in my team. And so he does gym memberships and he's got it all. He's like, no, I know when they go and they use it, they're more productive, they're healthier, they're happier. So I think you're spot on. The science is there. When we move, and I'll just say this, the older I get, the more I know, like, I got to move neurologically, you know, emotionally. I said this earlier too, is like exercise for me at the age of 50 isn't about physical as much anymore. It's about the mental part of it. Right?
Yeah, it's mitochondria. I know I'm being a certified trainer. I'm twice certified in a couple different organizations. Mitochondria. People kind of know what they do. Mitochondria make ATP. That's energy. That's as far as most dental people know. However, mitochondria, the energy factors in every cell. Michael Colgan, PhD, in a book called Saving Your Brain, said by age 55, for most people who are physically inactive, which is basically 85% of the audience here, 85% of dentists, 85% of hygienists, 85% of North Americans, 85% are physically inactive. By age 50, age 55, almost half of their mitochondria are no longer fully functioning, which means they have less ATP. What does that mean? You have less gas in your tank. You have less pistons firing. So people say, "Ooch, how do you do it? You know, how do you have so much energy? You're talking at 10 o'clock at night. You travel to three cities over 3 days. You're working 10-hour days. You still work 4 days a week now with COVID on. How do you do it? How do you have the time?" Mitochondria, because they've actually shown your mitochondria, when they shut off by age 50, epigenetically, this is where it gets really cool, epigenetically, which is the science of lifestyle's impact on your cells, you can actually turn back on mitochondria that have turned off. So your body is very adaptable. It's very malleable. You know, Bono from U2 said, the world is more malleable than we've led to believe. You can actually epigenetically turn back on mitochondria that have since shut off at age 50. You can get the mojo, like Austin Powers says, you can get your mojo back and be 65 having the energy of a teenager. Just and if you look at people who are in their 55, 60 plus, who have high energy and they still look amazing, like, how does that guy in his 70s? Mick Jagger, 76 years old. Yeah. You know, going. So mitochondria is where it's at. Like mitochondria, epigenetically turning on those energy factories. That's almost like, if that's all people had and their internet shut down today, that is enough for someone to realize the next 10, 20, 30 years can be absolutely incredible. Incredible.
Right. You mentioned Mick Jagger. I'm a big Sting fan. Like, Sting doesn't look good. He looks fantastic. And I don't even know how old he is. But he has mentioned that for years, you can actually do that. And he does yoga. But also too, I mean, recently, Tom Brady, you look at the photos of Tom Brady, he actually looks better than when he was drafted. Now, I hate playing against a guy because I'm a Green Bay Packers fan, and this was a rough year for us. But Tom Brady looks better than he's ever looked ever right now, you know?
It's such a good example. And, you know, even though he's only 43, so to you know, half of dentists are under 45, the other half are over 45, the median age, I should say. So 43 is still young. When you think about it, it's 10 years younger than me. However, people have blown away. I can't believe it. You know what? 43, you can look incredible if you go to bed on time, wear a sleep mask, eat vegetables, do weights, do cardio, do flexibility training. But most athletes are burning the midnight oil. They lease and rent everything, spending all their money, late nights, enjoying fame. But if you invest in sleep, you invest in a good trainer. I remember LeBron James said sleep is a secret weapon. They said LeBron James spends over $200,000 a year on his personal fitness and productivity, like the best mattress, the best air purifiers, the best probiotics. So look at athletes now in their late 30s and 40s, looking incredible. When you look at Sting at almost 70, I think Mick Jagger in his 70s, you know, Bono in late 50s, early 60s, none of these baby boomers are going home simply because they're tweaking their biology. And I think many dentists think it's some kind of mystery. Oh, I bet you Tom Brady had some Botox. Who the heck cares about his Botox, for crying out loud? I'm saying the fact that the guy sleeps 9 hours a night. He sleeps like a baby. And look at the guy. Oh, he doesn't have a six pack. Who cares about the six pack? He's performing. He outperformed a guy that was almost half his age a few weekends ago. Half his age. That's embarrassing. And you know, Pat Mahomes, you know, great guy. But when you get beat by a guy twice your age, it must be very mind bending that night to think, I got beat by a guy a little younger than my dad. That's frustrating for an athlete, for sure.
Oh, for sure. And I love Pat Mahomes. Like, I was actually cheering for them. And I'm like, oh, you know, and a rough day all the way around. But it just...
And he's got a great haircut. I'm trying to do a little Pat Mahomes thing going on today.
Yeah.
trim the other day. There's a little bit of power. I got to get some dreads up here, but I'm kind of, channeling some Pat Mahomes today.
I'm jealous of all you guys. You probably put a little gel in it. I haven't had hair since I was 14. I actually put a little hairspray in it when I was like 14 and flap it up. And then people were like, you just cut that all off. So let's get back to
You got a busy highway up there. That's what it is. It's a busy
there
highway.
You go.
Grass is growing a busy highway. You are a thought leader.
Oh, there you go. See, you're making me feel better already, buddy. But let's get back to now. You're a dentist. Talk about this. Like, I mean, at the chair all the time. I mean, click, pop, you know, get up. You gotta make an opportunity to move around. Sitting all day is just dangerous. I knew a guy in Kansas City. He was a TWA pilot, and he used to tell me all the time that he would lose friends that were pilots for years from prostate cancer because the guys sat all of their flights. Mm-hmm. And watch these younger dentists. It's really important. They always say, where should I put my money? Like, should I put it in gold? Should I put it in stocks? I'm like, dude, you should get a gym membership. You should go to theory or something. What do you think? You're a dentist.
Yeah. I treat my body like a high performance race car. Like, you know, best supplements, best food, hormone free meat, grass fed, you know, antibiotic free. Sometimes I go through Whole Foods. I come home with $400 worth of food, and I invest in the best sleep mask, the orange glasses. I have a gym membership and I could work out at 300 different gyms across Canada. My unlimited yoga membership is $1,200 a year. I have an upright stationary bike. I have a dedicated room that's about 150 square feet dedicated to my own personal fitness at home. And I have access to gyms outside my home. So I'd say, Dennis, we'll talk about investing in your team, CE, investing in your office, CE. Want to have a small space in your dental office that's dedicated to your employee fitness. Have an upright stationary bike, really small footprint, upright stationary bike, maybe $1,000 or, you know, $500 or $1,000. Get a pretty heavy duty one. Couple yoga mats, $100 IKEA mirror. Okay. Some dumbbells, 5 to 20. You've invested maybe $1,500 in a corner of your office. But if you can think you've increased your personal productivity by 10%, that's incredible. So I don't think fitness costs anything. It's an investment. You know, nutrition is an investment for me. My exercise equipment is an investment for me. My yoga mat is an investment for me. My Lululemon is an investment for me. I bought a pair of Figs scrubs. And there's a reason why you buy Figs, they're more expensive. It's an investment. It feels good on my muscles. It feels good. It feels light on me. So everything in your body that costs, it's actually an investment. From my brain to my nutrition to my equipment to everything that makes me feel good, I consider investment. That's why I said ergonomic. It's beyond ergonomics, move it or lose it, because most people think of ergonomics as something, you know, how do you stretch and how do I make my rhomboid stronger? Well, if you've seen gymnasts at the Olympic Games, between events, they all sit like this, and you can afford to sit like this if your muscles are toned and tight. It's amazing what kind of athletic, crazy, you know, yoga position you can get in if you got really good 33 vertebrae. If your 600 muscles are toned, You can sit and work. I did a bridge prep today. Who's still doing bridges? I did a bridge prep the other day. After an hour and a half, got up, felt fresh. And my patient was the same age as me. He goes, Dr. Deactus, I don't know how you do it. You were like, you were over me the whole time. I said, you know what? I do something most days of the week. She goes, oh, I should really do that because you and I are the same age and you look like this. I said, well, I invest in fitness. And anyway, I inspire patients with every chairside conversation. And it's all about getting people to think, hey, that's a new way of looking at it. My whole mandate of every talk, lecture, or article is to create a shift in people's perception. And that's the miracle for an adult to look at things differently. Because most times by age 20, our beliefs are fixed. And we hang on to them like we're hanging on to a lifeboat. But if you can get an adult to create a shift in their perception, now you get some transformation. Now you get a whole new level. It's like a watershed moment when you look at things differently. It doesn't cost. It's an investment.
Yeah, I love that. And we always say your problems really aren't your problems. It's how you think about your problems. So I absolutely agree. The transformational stuff that happens in dentistry is somebody changes their entire perspective. They go, you know, I used to say, oh, no patient will ever want to pay for this. And then I realized this is the best investment they'll ever make. And so it's just a shift in thinking. Now, I want to go to the lose it side just to add some perspective, because we talk about athletes a lot. We talk about movement, but also the big picture. My mom used to work in a nursing home, and she would always tell me, she would tell her patients, do you want to live or die? And they would go, well, I want to live. And she'd go, all right, stand up. Like, and she would tell me, the people that stop moving, they die. They just do. You could almost predict if and when they were going to die just because they stopped moving. What do you see on that side?
Yeah, I'm a big believer in that. You know, there's some primitive movements that we all do. We don't realize, you know, bend down, stand up, twisting, walking, pulling, pushing, and squatting or sitting. The minute someone's unable to do those six or seven primitive movements, you're in a long-term facility. The minute you can't stand up out of a chair, I'm not saying if you're in a wheelchair because of a physical challenge. I'm talking about if you've lost muscle mass, which basically people lose 1% of the muscle mass every year after 30, which is crazy. By age 70, dentists have lost half their muscle mass. And that's that little old man, little old lady walk, not because you're old, simply because you haven't moved the muscle. But right. If you can't stand up out of a chair or sit down, think long-term nursing home, long-term facility, because it's wheelchairs everywhere. And I'm not being disparaging. I'm just saying that when you've lost the ability to stand up and sit down, now you're in an assisted living facility. I don't care if you paid off your 6,000 square foot house in Boca Raton. You are in a long-term facility, unless you're like Howard Hughes, you can afford 24-hour care at home and people have people carry you around. Otherwise, if you actually keep those muscles moving and the ability to twist and turn and not lose your balance and have vertigo, what happens is you can live in your dream home. You can keep practicing. I don't know how many dentists, you can own your practice and not do any practicing. I know a lot of dentists now, they own 8, 9, 10, 20 offices. They barely do any dentistry. So why can't you still do that at 65, 75, 85? Mm-hmm. You know, as long as you keep your nose hairs trimmed and your hair dark, you can work forever being a leader with your offices. Who cares if you got to physically actively do crown prep? So movement is incredible. Movement is incredible in terms of allowing you to stand up and sit down and live independently until you decide to leave the planet with a little bit of fireworks.
Yeah. I don't think dentists, if there's a dentist watching this and they were thinking about being an MD or a dentist, and there was a crossroads there, and they obviously enjoyed the choice to become a dentist, ever bargained for how difficult physical dentistry was going to be. And the better you are, probably the more stressful it is. I tell young dentists this, and you give me your perspective, but I'm like, do you guys understand this? Your ability to make a living is greatly dependent on how healthy you stay. So like, this is not a job. Dentistry is a sport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Physically, emotionally, and mentally, dentistry is challenging. No, hygienists too. Look at assistants. I look over my assistant sometimes and it looks like she's doing the humble warrior with the praying mantis pose. So all three of us. Think of receptionists, you know, sitting all day as he or she books appointments. So that's why I talk about standing desks at reception, because they say standing, you pump your gene for LPL. LPL is lipoprotein lipase. It's 10 times more active when you're standing. Also, when you're standing and talking, you sound like you have more energy. So it's easier to book a tired, anxious, scared patient if you're in a better energetically position. Anyone who has more energy always receives money from people who have lower energy. So your receptionists, your office managers should have peak energy. So when you talk to people with low energy, you're the persuader, you're the convincer. You know, I know Mark Hyman talks about, you know, selling with enthusiasm, but if you're sitting down trying to book an anxious patient, it's not gonna happen. Stand right up and deliver. So yeah. I think it's definitely a physical sport from every aspect of the dental office. But if you're physically active, if you're physically healthy, you can keep working. You know, right. I thought, okay, I'm not traveling. Last year I traveled to 40 different cities over 40 weeks a year. And this year, you know, traveling has been zero so far. I just add another couple of days out in the dental office. And like, ooh, after 25 years, add another couple of days. I don't know. Got a pair of figs, got some new glasses, and I'm working. Because yeah. When I get up from the chair, I don't, you know, when I bend over to pick up something, I'm not grunting as I speak. And I'm not saying it's a brag. I'm just saying I'm pain-free. Because, right. You know, I go to a physiotherapist once a year to get some overall consultation and evaluation done. I see a chiropractor. I get massage done. Massage doesn't cost. It's an investment, you know? And I said for dentists out there, hygienists, all of us, we need to consider our bodies like a high-performance Formula One race car. A high-performance Formula One race car. So around the Indy, those cars go around the Indy 500, they're stopping every 15 laps, change tires, change oil. It's not like an old 15-year-old beater that you change the oil once or twice a year. We are a high-performance race car. New tires, new oil. We need to treat ourselves like we are a million-dollar productivity machine that is made to engage people and get anxious people to say yes so they can improve the quality of their health of their oral health, which makes everything in their lives better, from socially, but also to be able to chew better and make the world. Nestle is one of the most intimate things. I heard this from Christiana Northrup. She's a medical doctor, wrote a really cool book called Mother-Daughter Wisdom. She said, when we eat, we literally are able to take the world and make it into ourselves by the digestive and absorption process. And dentists and hygienist assistants, we're part of that machine. Like, we are in charge of the masticatory apparatus. We're in charge. Like, when you think, you know, which people don't think teeth are that important. Well, people don't realize how much eating is important, because it's funny, when people get up out of the chair, I would say one of the first things people ask, you know, when they had a long appointment, first thing they ask is like, Dr. Odiatu, when can I have sex? No, they ask, Dr. Odiatu, when can I eat? You know, when can I eat? Not when can I have sex? So food is a primitive urge that we all have.
Absolutely. And, you know, I love all your perspective. Every single time you're on here, you add some, you know, and I've heard you say this and post it many times, health is the first wealth. And it's just so true. Now go back to the standing thing. I want you to talk about, so do you have your team members do standing desks? And then talk about, you know, you've heard this, sitting is the new smoking. Okay, give some perspective to that.
Yeah, I'm not saying watch me, you know, people, it's a hard time people sit down. Everyone wants to sit down. Like when you think about it, we get to the airport when we traveled. The first thing people do, I hate traveling, I gotta sit for 10 hours. What's the first thing people do when they get to the gate? They sit down. We are programmed to sit. Teenagers, how can you be tired at 14? Oh, Dad, I'm so tired. You're 14, for crying out loud. How can you be tired? You're 14. So the whole idea is, I think we're programmed to sit. Our vertebra, we're meant to have three different curves, like kyphosis, lordosis, in our spine. It's meant to stand. We weren't designed to sit. It literally shuts down our physiology. It shuts down breathing. And you're thinking, is that a big deal? Well, the brain at 3 pounds is the biggest oxygen hog. At 3 pounds, our brain uses 25% of the incoming oxygen. So when you're sitting, your brain is being starved of oxygen. What does that do to your brain? It lets out gentle cortisol. Cortisol is a catabolic hormone. That's why sitting all day sucks your energy out. And if you really want to think creatively, if you really want to think abundantly, if you want to have good ideas, stand up. You know, if I'm going to write an important email, I don't sit down and think about it. I stand up, do some stretching, and then I write my email. I'm standing now because I feel more abundant, more creative when I'm standing, because my brain at 3 pounds has 25% of the incoming oxygen. So when you're sitting, the whole upper body teeter-totters on the lower back, which is basically so dysfunctional, it's incredible. It basically starves the whole pelvis area of circulation. And when dentists talk about losing another dentist from prostate cancer, they've actually shown that chronic pelvic inflammatory syndrome and polycystic issues, in females, oftentimes really stagnant pelvises from sitting all day. You know, if you want to sit on a stability ball. You know, do those infinity movements. Hey, do some Kegels, for crying out loud. There's many different ways you can introduce circulation to that whole pelvis area. And the minute it's activated, one of the easiest ways is by standing. All of a sudden, light bulb goes off and go, wow, I look a little younger standing up. I had more energy standing up. I felt more creative standing up. I felt less need to be negative in my office. You know, easy to be negative sitting down. Stand up and smile. It's hard to, you know, bitch complain to people when you're feeling good and your brain is getting the oxygen that it needs.
Yeah, that's so true. You got to stand up, get moving. It'd be interesting to gather some data, how much dentists actually move during the day when they're not focused on like how important this is. But it's even more fascinating how many people rationalize, oh, I don't have time to exercise. I'm like, you don't have time to exercise. Come on. Like, the most dangerous lies aren't the ones we tell other people. It's ones we tell ourselves. And with skyrocketing screen times, you know, have you ever done this? You should try this because you would love it.
Okay.
And so I did this one time in a seminar. I'm like, oh, how many people extra? Everybody pull out your phone. And this was the first version of the screen time. All right, what do you got? One woman raised her hand. She goes, I spent 14 hours on Instagram. I'm like, okay, so you have time to exercise? She goes, now I do. Yeah. It's amazing when you have data around how you spend your time.
Well, and you almost got to trick your body into maybe doing that. I think if you're going to be on Facebook or Instagram, one way to hold yourself more accountable would be to say, I can only update myself on Facebook and Instagram at home if I'm on a treadmill. You know, so, you know, a slow pace, you're standing, you're moving, you know, even 1 mile an hour, you know, is basically 4 miles after 4 hours. But we're talking about even 1 mile an hour is actually really slow. Even 60 minutes is basically walking 1 mile. And that could be your update of your Instagram, update of your Facebook. So there's many ways we can actually create some inconvenience in our lives. So it's inconvenient to say, for the next week, the only time I can be on Facebook at home is if I'm sitting on my stationary bike. It's inconvenient to say the only way I can be on Instagram at home during the next 7 days if I'm on my stationary bike or on my treadmill. But what it does is it reminds you how much you can actually, after you build a little inconvenience into your life, how you can actually update your steps and really start moving towards health. But there's many different aspects though than just walking and being upright. And we'll talk about that right away. But standing, movement, when you think about it, rigor mortis is the hallmark of death, right? Lack of movement. So flexible body, flexible mind, flexible life, rigid body, rigid thinking, rigor mortis. So movement is life, movement is health. Get those mitochondria moving and enjoy more productivity, less absenteeism, more creativity, better oxygen to your brain, deeper sleep. They've actually shown, there's an Appalachian study done a few years ago. Sean Stevenson in his book called Sleep Smarter said, they've actually shown that people who exercise during the day have up to 70% more deeper sleep at night.
Wow.
70%. And if you're enjoying deeper sleep, more growth hormone, more testosterone, and if you're a guy, better memory, better emotional processing, all right, from a little workout. So that whole idea about being a dumb jock is like very 1980s. You know, it's like Duran Duran. It's like the Vanilla Ice of the 90s. Like you're thinking old, dumb jock, old school. So if I had two people now interviewing for a manager position, all skills held equal, the person who exercised, guess what? You're getting the job.
Yeah.
Because the discipline to exercise means you'll maybe have other disciplines to do other things other than just the regular job. So I'm not judging people who don't exercise. I'm just saying, but the exerciser always gets that little heads up. It just looks like you're more disciplined. It looks like you have more discipline.
Totally. And you can even do your own little research project, because I exercise pretty well during the week or whatever. And then on the weekend, if you don't exercise, have a little wine, like alcohol, I wake up a lot. And it's funny when you just take better care, you just sleep better. Now, I want to ask you, I can't remember, I'm going to totally screw this study up, but I think it was you that taught me people in New York City, they did a study a long time ago, actually lived on average, 7 years longer than average people in other states or whatever, because of the amount they walk. Now, I've taken my family many times to New York City and they all complain the same thing. My feet hurt because we walk so much. Is there truth to that? Have you heard that? Were you the one that taught me that? I can't remember.
Maybe not that fact in particular. I do know that people who walk more live longer. People who walk more live longer. But then, you know, dentists, we're so contrarian. I know a guy that walked a lot and he died at 42. Don't tell me the exception, for crying out loud. Don't tell me the exception. But you know, people who walk longer, people who are more active, definitely have more longer life expectancy. But this is really cool. I heard this from Martin Gabala, PhD, exercise kinesiologist in McMaster University. He said that if you have a faster pace, this is a neat little caveat. They said, it's hard to change this. But if you're a slow walker, overall, if the pace you're walking is moseying, if you're a moseyer, they're shown on average, long-term 25-year study, the Copenhagen study in Denmark, they showed that fast walkers, people have a faster pace, live on average longer than moseyers. So if you're a moseyer, I'm not judging you, I'm saying the Copenhagen study, 20-year study showed that people who mosey don't live as long as people who walk quick. So walking quick, for some reason, is correlated with a longer life. That you can change instantly. You know, so instead of moseying down to the water to get your water, or moseying over to health foods, or moseying over to your, you know, to operatory one, do a little quick walk. Makes you think quicker, more oxygen. And with the Copenhagen study, 20-year study showed you actually have a longer life expectancy if you have a faster pace. My mom lived till 92, fast walker. My dad was a little slower, right? There's a 10-year difference in age gap. I always said my mom was the first cougar in the 60s. She married my dad. She was 10 years younger. My dad was 10 years older than her, but 10 years younger than her. She was the first cougar. But my mom was just a fast walker. My dad was a little slower. I'm not saying that was the result of his demise. He lived till 80. But fast walkers, longer life expectancy. And if that's the only takeaway you get from today, speed up your pace of your walking. Walk a little brisker, just like Uchi's Irish mother. Man, increasing life expectancy. That's a beautiful thing you can change right away.
The Best Practices Show with Kirk Behrendt is brought to you exclusively by ACT Dental, the ultimate provider of dental practice management solutions for dentists and their teams. ACT Dental is committed to helping you build a better practice and a better life. If you are looking to grow your production, motivate your team, get back on track, and create the practice you've always dreamed about, look no further. Give us a call at 800-851-8186 or visit us at actdental.com.
Amen, brother. Now let's go. The title I love because we're going to go a little bit beyond ergonomics. So we've talked about movement, moving or losing. What do we need to know as a dentist that might bend our thinking on the ergonomic side of movement? Like what's it? Give us a little bit bigger picture on that. Anything that you've noticed as far as.
Okay. People often think of exercise as just aerobics, and aerobics is easy. People think, oh, 10,000 steps. That's a small aspect of fitness. You know, you start stacking these habits. So getting your 10,000 steps, and I think even 10,000 steps is overrated. I think 5,000 is more than enough. It's hard to do 10,000 steps unless you walk an hour a day. So unless you have a big dog that needs walking, unless your operatories are like 30 feet apart, it's a challenge to get 10,000 steps in. I know Anne, very well-known, her last name escapes me now, up in Northern California, does 10,000 steps all the time, 11,000, incredible. I honor her in Walnut Creek, California. But I think go 5,000. 5,000, you can celebrate more often. But I think there's three aspects to your exercise program you got to think about. Weights or resistance training, cardio, which everyone knows, and flexibility training. I remember two nights ago, we just had the discussion. At the end of the day, we're talking with a receptionist, probably late 50s, a new receptionist. She's about 25, I think she was. And here's me. And the 25-year-old receptionist said, Dr. Odiatu, you're so age ambiguous. She goes, I can never tell how old you are. And I said, why? Because you talk quick and you move quick. And I said, well, I said, I also do yoga. It keeps me limber. And I said, do you do yoga? She goes, yeah, I do yoga. I said, let's do Humble Warrior right now. She goes, oh, it's because you're a certified yoga teacher. I said, no, I'm in my 50s. Let's do Humble Warrior. So bent down, did this Humble Warrior pose, actually picked up my leg. And she goes, that's crazy. She goes, you're the same age as my dad. And she goes, and again, I'm not saying this to impress anyone. I'm just saying the fact that when you are limber, when you practice not only strength training and cardio, when you do some yoga or Tai Chi or Qigong, you increase the range of motion of your joints, your 350 joints. Right. Now you get pain-free, less noisy movement in your body. So those three things, flexibility training, weight training, cardio. Flexibility training, weight training, and cardio. Those three are like the trinity of fitness. Those three. Try and include all three. You'll have a complete program. And the percentage of people in the North American population who work out all three areas, guess what it is?
What?
2%. Wow. Only 2% of North Americans have all three aspects in their physical fitness. So if you can't be in the top 2% in income, be in the top 2% in your having a complete exercise program.
Okay, so you're in the top half percent of dentists in the dental profession. Now, I've never asked you this question, but I'm curious. Break this down for us, what you do in a week. Now, I also want you to dispel the myth because I've been with you on the road. You're not in the gym, like sweating it out for two full hours. You don't need to do that, but give us a perspective. Like how many days a week do you do yoga? How much cardio do you do in a day? Give us what zones do I need to be in each one of these?
So great question. I'll talk during COVID because COVID's kind of changed almost everyone's perspective. The yoga studio is closed. There's no yoga. They're not going to open up now, probably until April. So I used to do hour hot classes, sometimes 90-minute hot classes, 2 to 3 times a week. That was in the past. So prior to March 13th, 2020. So now I do 20-minute yoga. And where do I go? Even though I'm a certified yoga teacher, I go to YouTube and I search intermediate 20-minute yoga because 20 minutes I can get my head around. 1 hour on my own in front of a screen, I'm not going to do it. 20 minutes, I find that easily doable. Okay, how many times I do that a week? 2 to 3 days a week. 2 to 3 days, 20 minutes at a time. Okay, that's my yoga.
Okay.
Intermediate. If you're new to it, just press beginner. Put beginner 20-minute yoga, right? And you'll find an easy selection of 20-minute beginner classes. Cardio, all I do is interval training. Also, some cardio is walking. I may get between 4,000 and 5,000 steps a day for my iPhone. I get about 4,000 to 5,000. I never get 10. Last time I got 10 was in Chicago midwinter last year in 2020. But my cardio is consistently 5 to 7 minutes on a stationary bike. 5 to 7 minutes of station bike is all I do. And it's interval training. 1 minute warm up, sitting down. Then I put the resistance up halfway and I stand up on the pedals for 20 to 30 seconds. And then I put the resistance down and I sit back down again. I go back and forth, 20 seconds, 20 seconds, 20 seconds, 20 seconds. And you can change that rhythm depending on how in shape you are. More about that later. That's about 5 to 7 minutes. And the newest information about interval training says that is equal to an hour of steady state cardio. So what would you rather do? 5 to 7 minutes of interval training, 5 to 7 minutes, or 60 minutes of cardio? What would you rather do if you're a busy dad, busy mom, busy dentist?
No question. You want higher quality time.
I want my life back. I want to earn my, back. Unless you do jogging because you find it meditative or spiritual, you know, connected with the environment. But if you want to be efficient, what would you rather do? Prep a crown over 3 hours or prep a crown in 45 minutes? So
right. Okay, now go back there. Why is interval training so important to the body? And explain what interval, because I know what it is, but some people might not.
Okay, good question. Interval training is just changing intensity. Anytime you change intensity. So they said interval training is very much like we've been moving for a million years. Throughout human history, we either walk slow or we ran. You didn't find many caveman people jogging for 3 miles, you know, with their water bottle. What they did was you walked to conserve energy and you ran when you had to hunt. You walked to conserve energy and then you ran when you're being chased. That is the history of human civilization. So when you think of a million years of human history and you think of jogging, it goes against everything against the caveman and cavewomen used to do. So what it is, interval training mimics the perfect physiology that our bodies love. Walk slow to conserve and then run to catch, or run when you're being chased. So interval training is very much like we're meant to run. So interval training is simply going slow as a warm up, and then changing the intensity. Even if you're walking for I like a 20 minute walk in every day. Don't walk at a steady pace. Instead, walk at a normal pace for 3 minutes, and then speed up and do a power walk for a minute. Right, power up for a minute, and then slow down. Anytime you alternate the intensity, alternate how fast you're breathing, which is RPE, rate of perceived exertion, what happens is it's better for your body. You get more increase in how your body's ability to handle oxygen, which is called max VO2. Your max VO2 tells the world, if you're looking at your physiology, an exercise kinesiologist, how well your body takes in oxygen, uses it, and expels it. And max VO2 is very efficiently increased by interval training. You get your life back. You get your time back. But, and don't get me wrong, ultra marathon, I know Brett Kessler's out there and Gary Takis, they love their slow runs. They do it for, that's the sport. They do it for the meditative aspect. They're amazing gentlemen. However, if you don't have the time and you want to get fit fast, interval training is the way to go. And I got a 7-page article that I wrote a little while ago on it. It's still relevant today. So if they want it, they can email it to me and I'll send that out to them. But it explains interval training in a nutshell, in a way that a busy person can get their head around.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll put that in the show notes. I've posted your email address on here, but you can go right down in the show notes, send an email directly to Ooch and he'll send you that paper. But it's good to know that you don't have to. Now, so now if you're listening to this and you're a dentist, you're like, I don't have time. We've already presented the case. You don't need like a ton of time. You just need a little bit of time.
Well, Peloton's based on that, right? Peloton, even spin classes. However, a lot of Peloton and spin classes are 45 minutes to an hour. Right. Do it if you want to. But the research by the top kinesiologist, Martin Gabala, for one, he's a chair of the kinesiology department up in Ontario, where I'm living. And he said, efficiently, basically, after 7 minutes of spin class, you can go, because you alternate intensity for 7 minutes. It's equal or better for you than 50 minutes, 5-0. I had a patient of mine who, I used to love spinning so much. I used to do 2 classes in a row, but I stopped all that. Why? Because I hurt myself. Overdoing it, you can do too much of a good thing. So it's hard to overdo 5 to 7 minutes. It's hard to overdo 10 minutes of interval training. Again, you got to gently build up intensity, but anytime you alternate, and it doesn't always have to be high intensity, it could be moderate intensity, because I know dental professionals love to overdo anything. So we're talking gentle warm-up, moderately increase the intensity, and then slow down to recover. Moderately increase the intensity, and then slow down to recover. And there's many different ratios of slow to high, slow to moderate that you can do. And that's explained in my article. But make it fun, make it doable, and then it becomes sustainable. You want to be as active now, 40, 50 years from now, at age 90, 100, as you are today. People say, oh, I'm training 2 hours a day. It's crazy. I'm doing a 100-mile marathon. Okay, how long is that going to be sustainable for? I'm talking about can you, what you do today, can you see yourself doing it in 10 years? So I love nutrition. I love exercise programs. I love sleeping habits as that are easily doable and sustainable. If it's not sustainable, it's not maintainable. If it's not sustainable, it's not maintainable.
Buddy, I love this. And I know I don't get you, you know, all, I could go on for another hour and ask you so many questions, but, and I know we got to let you go, but I've got a couple more thoughts and then we'll wrap up.
Okay.
You know, this whole movement thing in dentistry is so important. And, you know, I don't want to say every generation's going to be different, but there's a good case for the kids that are born today. You know, experts say that 1 in 3 babies is actually going to live to be 100. I think the next generation of dentists is actually going to practice longer than the people that came before us. Like, you know, Bill Robbins, 40 years of dentistry, but that's a long time and he loves it and he's been healthy, but there's a good case that the younger dentists now are going to come out and probably practice 4 full decades of dentistry. Do you think that's possible? And this is extra important of why movement is critical that you enjoy a long, great career in dentistry.
Yeah. Well, all the dentists say, I love being a dentist. Can't wait till I retire. You don't love being a dentist. Oh, I love what I do. I can't wait to retire. Why can't you teach? Why can't you mentor? Why can't you own a practice and maybe just be the principal and have associates? You know, I know Stephanie Mohan, I think she physically practices maybe 1.5 days a week. She got a busy, booming practice. So you don't always have to be there churning out the crowns. If you have 4 decades of dentistry, obviously you probably have some good leadership potential. You're inspiring people. You're showing people your appreciation and people look to you for guidance. So you don't have to be physically in the trenches pulling out root tips in the left, you know, posterior mandible. But I say, what's wrong with 4 decades? What's wrong with 5 decades? You know, it's amazing how if you really love what you do, if you keep yourself healthy, you can practice at least another 5 years. I'd say 10 years of practice. And as long as your back is pain-free, you got good cervical vertebra, you don't make noise when you sit up and sit down, another 10 years of practice for a physically active person, if the average dentist makes, you know, $200,000-$400,000 a year, that's worth $3 million. If people literally followed what you and I talked about today in this last 45 minutes, the average dentist can actually earn $3 to $4 million because he or she is going to work 10 more years pain-free, lucid. And then even then, why retire? Mentor, write, consult, advise. It's a beautiful, being a dentist and hygienist, the dental industry is a beautiful industry for anyone, whether you're physically in the trenches, mentoring, inventing equipment. You know, there's so many places where a dentist or hygienist can use their mind to help the next generation coming up. And you're going to earn money doing it.
Amen, brother. You have presented a great case for this. And I think we all got to move it or lose it. So, buddy, I'm so grateful. I know people that are listening are going to want to reach out to you and get your paper. Now, for the benefit of people listening on Spotify or iTunes, Ooch, how do I get a hold of you? How do I find out more about what you do? And I'll even say this. If you've got a study club and you haven't had this guy speak, you're missing out. He's an amazing presenter and speaker. So how do I find you?
Thanks, Kurt. 6 hours. Like, this is the pace I go for 6 hours. It's like 6 one-hour keynotes. But the whole idea being, though, whether it's a study club or whether it's virtual, it's all virtual now for me right now. I'm going to be at virtually presenting 2 sessions at the Heart of Dentistry. Chicago Midwinter is so close to my heart. I've done it probably about 7 or 8 times now. But I'll be doing two programs next Saturday. I think it's February 26th at the Chicago Midwinter, Heart of Dentistry. Love that, what's going on there in Chicago. I'm doing virtually. 2 weeks later, I'm going to be at the Hinman. I'm doing, I think, 3 or 4 programs in Hinman, again, virtually. At the Hinman meeting, love what the Hinman people are doing. That's going to be, again, virtual in Atlanta. I'm going to be doing the Canadian Dental Association's tag teaming with the Manitoba Dental Association. I'll be doing the closing keynote. It's going to be called Nutrition Lollapalooza. Okay? It's going to be like a burning man of getting my people fired up about eating healthy. That's going to be the closing session. That'll be in April. And that'll be the Canadian Dental Association, the Manitoba Dental Association. Closing day, I think it's April 17th. Other than that, I got some live programs booked. SmileCon, which is this year's ADA annual session in Vegas, mid-October. I'll be in Wisconsin. Boca Raton for the ADOM, the American Association of Dental Office Managers. I think I'm doing either the opening or closing keynote there. That'll be in, I think it's in Orlando in September. The California Dental Association Northern Meeting, September 9th, I'm doing 2 or 3 programs there. So my mitochondria are on fire. I'm a living testament to move it or lose it. My mind is young, my cells are vibrant, my mitochondria are fully functioning.
Oh, buddy, you are awesome. And I'm just telling you, if you're anywhere near those things, you got to go. Just like my team members, you're going to sit in one of his sessions. It'll inspire you.
They stand.
There you go. I love it. And that's why he's truly one of the most popular and requested speakers anywhere, just because you're in a category of one. There's nobody like you. I don't think anywhere. It's so great. So
the Elon Musk of dental wellness. How's that?
Dude, you're the best.
Whether you love him or hate him.
Oh, no, I don't know. You are the best. I love Elon too. Like, you know, you hate people because they think differently. I mean, you can't debate. He's changing the world in the space that he's in. There's no question. But we're going to have you back for other topics on the nutrition side of things and everything. And Ooch, I'm so grateful, man. You just always make my week better. And I'm going to go home now and like, just think a little bit better. So brother, I'm so grateful. So stick around when we say goodbye to everybody else, but thank you guys for watching the Best Practices Show. If you have topics that you want to hear more from Ooch or other speakers, keep sending them to us because I get those all the time. We're lining them up. We've got a great lineup in front of us. And until we see you guys next time, make sure you're moving it so you don't lose it and keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day. And there you have it. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Best Practices Show. I hope you sure did enjoy it. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. We are always here for you. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you consume podcasts. And if you really enjoy it, you can leave a comment or a 4 or 5 star review. But until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show.